Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me in studio today is Dorothy Jamison. She's certified athletic trainer for Aspirus Keweenaw. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, and you were involved in a very special project that's been going on here that deals with concussions in high school sports. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, we've been involved in a pilot program for the Michigan High School Athletic Association since August of last year. And what they're trying to do is find a sideline tool to use to help with the, the safety of concussion removal and the concussion, recognition. I guess they're really looking for a way that's been used in other sports and other venues for example, PTSD or dyslexia or reading disorders. They're trying to see if the King-Divick test can be used as an accurate tool to diagnose concussions on the sidelines and help us remove kids from play before it becomes a crisis with a concussion.
Now, what kind of experience had you had up to this point working with student athletes and concussions?
Well, I've been a certified athletic trainer for, 30 years, and we've used various tools in the past, and there's been lots of research over the more recent past about concussions and with the NFL problems and the CTE problems and the concussion movie coming out. It's really been in the forefront to see what can be done with concussion testing. We at Aspirus have been using a program called the Standardized Assessment of Concussion, the SAC test, for quite a few years. One of our pediatricians, Rebecca Kalar, had spearheaded that program years ago, and that was the sideline baseline test we used. However, that's a paper and pencil test, and it's something you want to use in the quiet. It's not something you're going to do on a sideline quite as efficiently as this new King-Divick test can be done on the sidelines. And what the difference is, they were saying that the SAC test by itself is about 50% effective in diagnosing concussions. The sideline test, along with the balance error scoring system, the BESS product, makes it a little bit better. But then you combine that with the King-Divick, and we're getting up to about a 98% specificity for removing someone because they actually have a concussion. So the Michigan High School Athletic Association is the first association in the country to be doing a pilot program for concussion testing. The purpose of the pilot program is, number one, education. We really want to make sure all the athletes, all the parents, the press, everybody knows about concussions and the awareness of concussions. And just because you hit your head doesn't mean it's a concussion, but just because you hit your head doesn't mean it's not a concussion. So we're trying to have objective tools that can be used along with, you know, I've got lots and lots of experience seeing concussions. And before it was a gut feeling saying, ooh, that hit didn't look good. Let's evaluate you for a concussion. I'm not really sure. Okay, I'm going to send you to the doctor. So now we have this objective measure, this thing that looks at eye movement, language, speech, concentration, looks at all the areas of the brain combined in a two-minute test that says, ooh, yeah, no, I'm really sure that this is a concussion. Or, looks pretty good. Your time was better than your baseline test. Let's see what happens.
Now, I used to play a lot of football in my teenage years, so I have to kind of back up about 25 years or so. And, you know, I don't remember this being the issue that it is today. I wouldn't, you know, perhaps my coach and his assistants knew about it, but, you know, I remember the very first live play I was ever in as a freshman football player, and it was on opening kickoff for the game. And so running down the field, and I'm ready to hit something for the first time in a live game. And I put my head down and go right at the guy in front of me, and we helmet to helmet. So, it was one of those bell rung moments. And it's, you know, here, I remember that. I remember how much that hurt. Now, most of the pain that I had was actually in my neck. I had a stiff neck for about a week. And I learned to lead with the shoulder from that.
See what you hit.
Point, you know. But, you know, nobody, you know, asked anything about, you know, a concussion or check me out for that. It was, you know, get up and get out there onto the next play.
Yeah, get back in the game. Hurry up.
Yeah, and even, you know, as a parent, you know, with I two kids, and one is grown, one is 17 years old now. But we always kind of had a thing, you know, if you're not bleeding or if it's not broken, get back in there.
No blood, no foul.
You know, yeah, kind of like that. And, you know, we've come a long way in understanding that you can't always physically see the injury to know that there's something very serious that has taken place.
Well, yeah, that's the big thing that people need to remember, that it's not a visible injury like a sprained ankle that swells up, or when you cut and you bleed all over, or it doesn't bruise. It's inside the brain, and that's the scary part, is because we can't see. And a CT scan isn't necessarily going to show anything. And, you know, it's just one of those sort of invisible type injuries that we meaning athletic trainers and the adults on the sideline, really need to be aware of that, so that we protect the students from themselves, essentially, because they don't realize what's happening. You didn't realize that something could have been wrong when you hit your head. You knew your neck was stiff. But I guess I was very fortunate, because I went to a school where, when I was an undergrad, we learned about concussions, and we learned about the importance of concussions. And we knew that concussions were cumulative. And so I've probably been a little on the more cautious side of the sports medicine scope since I've been an athletic trainer, because that's what I learned. And so I know people are worried that they're thinking, oh no, I'm not going to tell them because then they're going to hold me out of the game. And that's where it goes to protecting the kids from themselves. Because oftentimes we can see things, and because of our experience, we know what's going to turn into something that could be a big problem before the kids see it. So they may feel fine right now. In 15 minutes, they may not be able to recite the alphabet backwards. They may not remember their own name. They may not know any of those things. You know, I saw my brother have a concussion. We were all competitive figure skaters, and he was doing something called a flying sit spin. Well, he caught his tip in the board and whacked his head on the ice and gave himself a concussion. Well, you know, obviously I was younger than him, so I didn't really know what was going on. But he went to school with my mom. She was kind of concerned that there might be a problem. And yes, by lunchtime, she was an elementary school teacher, and he was probably in, I don't know, 10th grade. He couldn't read to the first graders. Okay, now we're going to the ER. So, you know, it's things that you don't see anything. He didn't have anything on the outside of him that showed that there was a problem, but yeah, he couldn't remember how to read. He couldn't remember to do anything. So my folks took him to the emergency room, and he spent the night in the hospital, and he's fine. He's, you know, a member of the world today. But the thing is, if you err on the side of caution, you're much better off. And if you can find a tool like we have with this King Divic test program, that the kids can see themselves that it's a quantitative thing. I remember doing the baseline and I got this score. Whoa, I didn't realize I was that much slower, or I didn't realize I was reading those numbers backwards and reciting things differently. And the kids can see it and they say, yeah, okay, yeah, I really don't feel so great. And that's the beauty of the test, is it's a sideline test. It can be done in the heat of the moment, in the heat of competition, in the rain, in the snow, in the sleet, whatever the freezing cold ice rink it happens to be. This is done, boom, right on the way. And it's just as accurate as when they were sitting doing their baseline test, like football did in the locker room in August before they started hitting. So that's a really nice tool, because it's not just me saying, ooh, I think, you know, even based on my years of experience, it's a quantitative tool that is really, I've really been happy with, that's given me and them the education to know that, you know, we're here for them. We're not here just to take them out of the game. We're here to make sure they're able to play another game, or they're able to play with their kids and their grandkids. And I mean, concussions are cumulative.
In the example that you shared here with your brother and any other ones, what struck me there is the lingering effect, you know, because I don't know how much time had passed between him hitting his head on the ice and then trying to read to the first graders. But I imagine it wasn't a quarter of a football game, you know, sitting down for a few minutes and, you know, and
right
until your head stops spinning. This is something that does linger for a while before you're ready, before you're able to, you know, to reparticipate.
Well, and there's what they used to call, and they really don't like us saying this anymore, minor concussions or major concussions. And, you know, the major part is when you're unconscious. Well, no, you can have major effects from a random hit with, you know, no loss of consciousness. In my brother's case, it was a couple hours. It's basically a little bit of swelling in the brain causing more neuro damage. And yes, a quarter of football is what, you know, 8 minutes, or depending on how long with timeouts and things, it's not a very short period of time. They used to say if the symptoms clear in 15 minutes, you can throw them back in. Well, many of the symptoms don't show up till closer to the end of the game or even after the game. So if we're not there to catch it and they get a second hard hit, you know, they worry about the second impact syndrome where the second hit can be worse than the first. And all these things we're learning with more and more research, which again is a very scary thing if you're thinking, oh my gosh, my kid's not going to play football because they're going to die from their first hit. No, we're making it safer. We're making it, you know, with your head, you hit with your shoulder instead of with your head, and they have the heads up play and they have the spearing rules, and that's why they hate kickoffs, and they've moved the touchback line back with the NFL, and they're talking about moving it even more, and they're trying to legislate it to make it safe. It's never going to be 100% safe, but that's my job as an athletic trainer, is to notice those things, to watch the hits, to watch the way the child acts, to know the kid beforehand, to know that, wow, that's not normal for the kid to be doing this. One of my coworkers, it was a funny story. I first met him, physical therapist on the staff with us, and he played high school football up here. And he got a pretty good hit, and it was basically the predecessor of me for standing on the sidelines. Anyway, the kid took a hit, went to the wrong sideline. Okay, yeah, you're done for the day, young man. But again, it's one of those things where it's the more you know, the more you can quantitatively take someone out and teach them how that's going to actually be better for them in the long run, it might not be quite so scary. Interesting thing, we always have a football banquet at the end of the year, and you know, I like to go because I like to celebrate what the kids have done and things like that with pretty much all the sports. But this year it was quite interesting because that was shortly after the movie Concussion came out. And again, that's sort of a doomsday prophecy. Your kid's going to play football and it's going to be the end of the world and they're going to end up like this. And my football coach at Calumet was pretty much saying, you know, football's never been safer. And because of that, he said, you know, Dorothy with the sideline testing and her caution, football has never been safer up here. You know, that's the whole thing. I can worry about that. The coaches can worry about coaching. The kids can worry about playing. And together we make a pretty good team to keep the athletes safe. So,
you know, you're doing a great job anticipating things I might ask here, which makes me think that you've been asked these things a number of times. One thing that came to my mind was, some of the public reaction is that all this emphasis on concussion is to try to make football go away, you know, to try to keep kids 100% safe all the time. And unfortunately, it's never really the case. If kids are active, they're oftentimes in,
correct,
you know, they could have accidents, things can happen. And so you get a reaction from those who are, you know, trying to, you know, protect the sport, you know, in the right to play, because others may take it further and say the best way to protect kids is no, you know, just don't have them play at all. And so it sounds like you've been in that situation where you're saying this is not about taking away football; it's trying to make football as safe as possible.
Correct. Correct.
It's still a game, you know.
Right. And you can get a concussion in a car accident, so we're not going to drive a car. You can ride your bike down the street. How do we make these things safer? Well, they've put airbags in cars and seatbelts in cars and seatbelt rules and speed limits. And many, many, many states have a helmet law for motorcycles. And I'm disappointed that, of course, Michigan took their motorcycle helmet law away because, again, that's sort of a safety thing. But again, helmets on bicycles, helmets when kids are skateboarding, helmets in hockey, face shields in hockey. How do we make these things a little safer? People will get used to it. I mean, they've been wearing helmets in the NHL since, what, 1975? At first, people said, oh, that's going to change the game. Well, it's still an awfully beautiful game. Fast moving, goals are scored, you know, medals are won. Go Calumet Wolverines for winning the game on Saturday night. But, you know, it's just, how do we make it safer? Because if we just wrap people in bubble wrap and put them on the sideline, well, there's our problem with obesity and everything else that comes along with inactivity. So, yeah, I've never been approached to say, oh, my kid's not going to play football. I guess if I had a son playing football, I'd be more worried about the long-term effects of knee injuries or back injuries or ankle injuries than I would about concussions. You know, I've had lots of friends that have had knee replacements or hip replacements because of playing high school football. Much more problems than concussion issues. And in the whole year, I think in Calumet, I think including that, so hockey, football, basketball, I think we've only had 8 concussions this year, and none of them have been season ending. Some of them have been, you know, just 2 weeks. Some have been, you know, a couple weeks longer than that, but nothing serious. So 8 concussions out of all the contact time we've had with, you know, JV football, varsity football, basketball, JV hockey, all that stuff. And we've only had a couple in Lake Linden because, of course, I work with Calumet and Lake Linden sports. We haven't had that many concussions, and none of them have been serious because we've been able to catch them and send them to the doctor, and the doctor does, you know, they clear them. Again, it's not something you can rehab by saying, put a bag of ice on it. When someone is diagnosed with a concussion, they get, you know, you're looking at headaches, you're looking at all kinds of things, but then there's that 5-day return to play guideline, and that's, again, mandated by the state. That's just something that we add a little bit more exertion day after day, 24-hour break in between, increase the level of intensity. So hopefully by day 5, they're back to game readiness. Let them go play the game again. If we have problems during that rehab period, that return to play protocol, we sit them down, wait another day, try it again. But again, all these things, we're trying to keep the kids on the court, on the ice, on the field. That's the whole idea. The object is to keep them on, but keep them safe.
Talking right now with Dorothy Jamison. She is a certified athletic trainer for Aspires Keweenaw, and she's been involved with a pilot program from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. This is for sideline concussion testing. Now, I wonder, on the sideline, who is the person that would be responsible for giving the test, and is that person the same one who makes the final call whether they go back into the game?
Well, ideally, I'm the one on the sideline making the call that A, the kid needs the test, and B, give the kid the test.
But you're just one person.
I'm one person. There are times when, for example, JV football or JV hockey is away, then I've designated one of the coaches to do the very same sideline test. The MHSAA gave us 3 tablets that have this program loaded onto the tablets. So it's a tablet-based thing. It just turn on the computer thing, let them run through the test, see how they do. The nice thing about Calumet is the school uses iPads for everything. So in addition to the assistant coaches I have with that on the tablet, they can also upload the program onto their iPad. And because it's a cloud-based program, we can all sign into the same program, see all the data from the baseline test from whatever sport it happens to be. They can do the test, I can see it, I can follow up. They know that if the test is longer than a second over the baseline or has any errors, that's a disqualification. It comes up red right there on the screen of the tablet saying, okay, that's a disqualification. The difference, Lake Linden, being a smaller school, it's kind of convenient because I have the JV football coach who also happens to have children on basketball, both boys and girls basketball. So when he would be at away games, he would continue that. He's also the counselor at the school, which means during the day when I could be at Calumet or somewhere else, if there's something that happens, he can run that test. Let's say somebody hurts themselves, one of my athletes hurts themselves in a PE class playing kickball and gets, you know, a ball to the head or something. He can run them through the test. And again, if the tablet will tell them, so they don't have to make a judgment call, make, I'm not really sure, what are we going to do? It's simply, if it's more than a second, or if there's any errors in the follow-up test, they're disqualified until they're cleared by the their own medical doctor.
Okay. What I was wondering is, what about all of the different schools? When you say you're just one person, does every school have somebody who's a certified athletic trainer there?
Absolutely not. Okay. There's quite a few in the area that don't. There are some that are covered. There are some that are covered in my case where, you know, they're employed by the hospital and their services are donated to the schools. But we have several that aren't. And because I'm the only person, the only athletic trainer, I guess you could say, in the Upper Peninsula doing the King-Devick test, I will be using the SAC, standardized assessment of concussion test. I'll be doing that baseline test for athletes that are at my schools that I suspect have concussions. I would be the one if it's, you know, my main focus is making sure all the games are covered at home at both schools at home. So it's either me or it's my assistant Jen Whitting, who's also a certified athletic trainer. We know that if it's one of our kids, we'll do the King-Devick test along with the SAC test. If it's a kid from another school, because they're not going to bring an athletic trainer with them, they will do the SAC test. We'll let the coaches know that they're disqualified. We try to follow up with the schools if we know who we can contact, especially if they happen to have somebody that might be. You know, the nice thing is the athletic trainers in the Upper Peninsula, especially the Marquette area, our area, we've known each other for a while, so we share information. Your kid sprained an ankle or did something at my game down here in Negaunee. I'll say, yeah, your hockey player got hurt up here. Whatever it is, we try to share information. It's the schools that have nobody that we kind of worry about, because what's the follow-up going to be? You kind of know that if a school has a certified athletic trainer that comes to the school regularly, there's going to be good follow-up. They won't fall through the cracks. That'll be safe. It's the other ones we try to make sure that we show them, we talk to the parents. If they're on the sidelines, we try to call them over and say, hey, this is a big deal. You need to follow up. Yes, coach, this kid is disqualified. Luckily, I've gotten the respect from enough coaches that if I say they're disqualified because I believe it's a concussion, they're not gonna buck the trend. They're gonna say, okay, I understand. Thank you. We'll take care of it.
Well, we definitely have come a long way, because I remember going back to my football days. If we didn't really have an athletic trainer, and the person who was in charge of checking you if you felt all right was the assistant coach, and his job was to come over and tell you to rub dirt in it.
Yeah, pretty much. Or as other coaches have said, tape an aspirin to it.
You've been involved with this pilot program for about a year, at least during mm-hmm. this
school year
last fall. And so, how long is this program going to be? And if it's implemented nationwide, what would it look like for our schools here and throughout the country?
Well, I think what it's going to do is, well, first of all, yes, it started with baseline testing everybody last August before football and volleyball. It started actually before that with some online training and then a seminar down in Lansing. But it's a year-to-year basis. I believe the MHSAA has a contract with these tablets for 3 years. I know that they would like to have this program out nationwide so we can all say, yep, that's what it is. The difficulty might be a little bit in the file sharing. If I'm going to test somebody from another school, how am I going to have access to that baseline test? I won't necessarily know. I may do a test and send the number to their school and say, okay, this is what the follow-up test was. What was the baseline test? That, I think, are the logistic errors that we're going to have to sort of work out. However, I know that after the fall, the MHSAA said, okay, tell us about your experience. How many concussions did you have? Again, this is a cloud-based thing, so they can watch and see what the comments are and see what the times are and see what the errors are. So they've been watching, but they want to know what the hands-on experience has been with me as a user. So I'm guessing we're going to have one shortly with follow-up from the winter sports. There aren't as many sports in the spring. Obviously, we have softball and baseball, but there's not the hockey and the football type where we're going to expect concussions. I may not see any concussions this spring. I still baseline tested the softball and baseball kids that haven't already been tested. The beauty of the program is it's a baseline test once during the year. So most of my athletes had it done in the summer before volleyball and football started. So the nice part is the baseline test is good for one calendar year. Calendar year's up. Yep, we got to do another baseline. Here we go. So as I'm sure Kelly probably told you, The NHL has 12 teams using this as a pilot program as well. They've used it with colleges, and I can't remember which colleges have used it, but some of the colleges use this for their football programs, and I know they've tried to get it into the NFL, but they're trying to see how far down age-wise this is a reliable test, as well as the scope of everything. So, you know, I don't really know where this is going to go nationwide. I think the whole file sharing stuff is going to be the little logistical nightmare, but I would love to continue using it with my schools, because it's just, I've really been happy with it. And again, but as the only school in the Upper Peninsula, it's not like I can compare and say, hey, what are you seeing with it? It was open to every school in the MHSAA. But again, it's a little bit extra work. It's a little bit extra time. But I know with Sean Jocks, who is a member of the rep council for the MHSAA, he wants to be the best. The MHSAA wants to be the best. Being the best sometimes takes a little bit extra time and effort. And, you know, if we can make it a safer experience for all of our athletes, we should be willing to do that, I think.
I certainly agree. Dorothy Jemison, thank you so much for coming on the program and talking about the subject today.
Thank you.
Pepper Country Today, we'll be right back.